Welcome to Ad Bible, an audio daily devotion from the Ezra Project. We join Alan J. Huth as he shares Bible passages and comments from over 30 years of his personal Bible reading journals.
Today brings us to Acts 21. So let's listen into Faith Comes by Hearing's recording of Acts 21.
Acts 21. And when we had parted from them and set sail, we came by a straight course to Kos, and the next day to Rhodes, and from there to Patara. And having found a ship crossing to Phoenicia, we went aboard and set sail. When we had come in sight of Cyprus, leaving it on the left, we sailed to Syria, and landed at Tyre, for there the ship was to unload its cargo. And having sought out the disciples, we stayed there for 7 days. And through the Spirit they were telling Paul not to go on to Jerusalem. When our days there were ended, we departed and went on our journey, and they all, with wives and children, accompanied us until we were outside the city. And kneeling down on the beach, we prayed and said farewell to one another. Then we went on board the ship, and they returned home. When we had finished the voyage from Tyre, we arrived at Ptolemais, and we greeted the brothers and stayed with them for 1 day. On the next day, we departed and came to Caesarea, and we entered the house of Philip the evangelist, who was one of the seven, and stayed with him. He had 4 unmarried daughters who prophesied. While we were staying for many days, a prophet named Agabus came down from Judea, and coming to us, he took Paul's belt and bound his own feet and hands and said,
"Thus says the Holy Spirit, this is how the Jews at Jerusalem will bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles."
When we heard this, we and the people there urged him not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered,
"What are you doing, weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be imprisoned, but even to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus."
And since he would not be persuaded, we ceased and said,
"Let the will of the Lord be done."
After these days we got ready and went up to Jerusalem, and some of the disciples from Caesarea went with us, bringing us to the house of Mnason of Cyprus, an early disciple, with whom we should lodge. When we had come to Jerusalem, the brothers received us gladly. On the following day Paul went in with us to James, and all the elders were present. After greeting them, he related one by one the things that God had done among the Gentiles through his ministry. And when they heard it, they glorified God, and they said to him,
"You see, brother, how many thousands there are among the Jews of those who have believed. They are all zealous for the law, and they have been told about you, that you teach all the Jews who are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, telling them not to circumcise their children or walk according to our customs. What then is to be done? They will certainly hear that you have come. Do therefore what we tell you. We have 4 men who are under a vow. Take these men and purify yourself along with them, and pay their expenses, so that they may shave their heads. Thus all will know that there is nothing in what they have been told about you, but that you yourself also live in observance of the law. But as for the Gentiles who have believed, we have sent a letter with our judgment that they should abstain from what has been sacrificed to idols, and from blood, and from what has been strangled, and from sexual immorality."
Then Paul took the men, and the next day he purified himself along with them, and went into the temple, giving notice when the days of purification would be fulfilled, and the offering presented for each one of them. When the 7 days were almost completed, the Jews from Asia, seeing him in the temple, stirred up the whole crowd and laid hands on him, crying out,
"Men of Israel, help! This is the man who is teaching everyone everywhere against the people and the law and this place. Moreover, he even brought Greeks into the temple and has defiled this holy place."
For they had previously seen Trophimus the Ephesian with him in the city, and they supposed that Paul had brought him into the temple. Then all the city was stirred up, and the people ran together. They seized Paul and dragged him out of the temple, and at once the gates were shut. And as they were seeking to kill him, word came to the tribune of the cohort that all Jerusalem was in confusion. he at once took soldiers and centurions and ran down to them. And when they saw the tribune and the soldiers, they stopped beating Paul. Then the tribune came up and arrested him and ordered him to be bound with two chains. He inquired who he was and what he had done. Some in the crowd were shouting one thing, some another. And as he could not learn the facts because of the uproar, he ordered him to be brought into the barracks. And when he came to the steps, he was actually carried by the soldiers because of the violence of the crowd. For the mob of the people followed, crying out,
"Away with him!"
As Paul was about to be brought into the barracks, he said to the tribune,
"May I say something to you?"
And he said,
"Do you know Greek? Are you not the Egyptian then, who recently stirred up a revolt and led the 4,000 men of the assassins out into the wilderness?"
Paul replied,
"I am a Jew from Tarsus in Cilicia, a citizen of no obscure city. I beg you, permit me to speak to the people."
And when he had given him permission, Paul, standing on the steps, motioned with his hand to the people. And when there was a great hush, he addressed them in the Hebrew language, saying,
"Back in 1992, when I read Acts 21, it stirred up a real dilemma for me, a real question, and maybe it has for you. I wrote, A Dilemma for Christians, when others tell us what the Lord is saying and it conflicts with what we believe He's saying to us personally. You see, many people were telling Paul not to go to Jerusalem, but Paul was convinced he needed to go, and he said he would. For example, in verse 4 it says, "And through the Spirit they were telling Paul not to go on to Jerusalem." So you would think that they were being guided by the Holy Spirit telling Paul not to go to Jerusalem. And then you look at verse 11, and it says, "And coming to us, he took Paul's belt and bound his own feet and hands and said, Thus says the Holy Spirit." So are those, quote, Christians around Paul giving him good advice? Look at Paul's response in verse 13. It says, "Then Paul answered, What are you doing, weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be imprisoned, but even to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. And since he would not be persuaded, we ceased and said, Let the will of the Lord be done." So let's look into this a little bit. Was the advice from those around Paul true? Was it guided by the Spirit? Well, probably. They didn't want him to go to Jerusalem because they thought what he thought, that he was going to be bound and put in prison. So in their heart of hearts, they didn't want that to happen. And what Agabus says exactly is what happens when he got to Jerusalem. So their advice could have been from the Holy Spirit. But let's flip back to chapter 20, when Paul himself is sharing about this, going to Jerusalem, in verse 22, where he says, "And now behold, I am going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me." So the Holy Spirit is also guiding Paul, isn't he? And of course, when Paul gets to Jerusalem, the same thing happens. Everybody gets stirred up. Acts 21:30 says, "Then all the city was stirred up, and the people ran together. They seized Paul and dragged him out of the temple, and at once the gates were shut." So wherever Paul went, he seems to stir things up. And he's going to make his defense. You've got to tune in tomorrow for chapter 22 to see what Paul says to this rowdy crowd. But let's go back to the dilemma that we face. What do we do when people tell us one thing and we think we're hearing from the Lord something else? Well, fortunately, I have heard some good preaching over my life as a Christian, and I remember one pastor sharing a story and saying, "I don't believe that God would tell those around you something that he wouldn't tell you. So there should be consistency in the message if it's from the Holy Spirit." I'll share an instance of my own life, my own experience. And that was many years ago. We were going to go to a Christian concert out east where we lived. And there were lots of musical groups and some preaching. And as we were walking through the parking lot, A woman came up to me I didn't know. She didn't know me. And she, quote, prophesied over me and said that I was going to have something to do with music. Well, you know, I can't even carry a tune. So I thought, well, that's pretty interesting. I mean, we were going to a musical concert, but come on. How could she know me and know that I would have anything to do with music in my life? Which, by the way, has never really occurred. Or maybe I should say, not yet. So that was never revealed to me, although I did move to Nashville once upon a time, and that is the city of country music and gospel music, but that's a far cry from saying that I was going to have a ministry related to music. So that's an example to me of a well-meaning Christian giving me some kind of prophecy or some advice that the Lord had not revealed to me. And I think I have time for one more example. And that's a friend of mine who was in the business world. He was in education and he was sensing a call of the Lord to go into full-time ministry. And he was being offered a wonderful position at a particular church. And so he asked a lot of his friends, including me, what we thought, should he take this position? And I think to a person, all of us said no. But he conferred with his family, and his family said yes. And he conferred with the Lord, and he seemed to be directing him in that way. So he went ahead and took that position. And I believe he was very successful in that position at that church and served there for many years. So I think my conclusion of this matter, when there's a dilemma of what you're hearing from people and what you're hearing from the Lord, is listen to the Lord. And as they all concluded in the matter in chapter 21, verse 14, they said, "Let the will of the Lord be done." So in my own life, I listen to the Lord. Yes, I seek the counsel of those close to me, but I still have to listen to the voice of the Lord that I hear. So, Lord, we pray today that we could have a clear voice from you, that you would speak into our hearts so that we would know beyond a shadow of a doubt that it's your voice that we're hearing. And we do pray for the counsel of the Christians around us, that they also hopefully hear from the Holy Spirit and give us good advice. Lord, make it clear to us that your will be done if we follow your voice and your voice alone. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.